There's an old saying in songwriting, don't bore us, get to the chorus. And while you can't really afford to be average in any part of your songwriting, the chorus is really where careers are made. I mean, there are a few songs out there with crazy good verses and not much of a chorus. Coldplay's Clocks is an example. But in general, the chorus is the most important part of the song. A lot of R&B dance songs out right now have pretty much no melodic component in the verses and just a rap. And all the hook is in the chorus. I mean, people like the cool vibe of the rap, but they are waiting for that hook to come back around. Without the hook, you don't really have anything. Here's what most beginning songwriters do. They work on a riff or chord progression, and then they come up with a verse melody that gets them excited. And on top of that, some noodly lyrics about whatever general feeling they have right then. And then, after that, they're faced with climbing the bigger hill, writing the chorus. Not only does the chorus have to be hookier and more epic than what's come before, it has to sum up, lyrically, the basic theme the songwriter has been dancing around in the verse. I always encourage people to do it the other way around. I mean, write whatever comes naturally, but if you're going to sit down to write something, think about choruses. Come up with a great hook, a great title, or a great concept and work from there. It's honestly easier to start from there and then fill in the details, by which I mean the verses, pre-choruses and bridges. It also tells you pretty quickly which bits and pieces are worth finishing off. If the chorus isn't great, you won't worry about working on the verse. If the chorus is killer, you'll be super inspired to write a verse of the same quality. And for whatever reason, that always tends to be easier. It could be something to do with the confidence of having that great hook already in the bag. Kind of like telling a joke knowing that the punchline is going to slay everybody in the room. It's not a bad analogy, actually. Sometimes spending ages on the verse is like starting a joke without knowing if it's going to end up anywhere funny. Now, I should say, there is something to be said for coming up with a great riff, great feel, great intro, opening line to get the song kicked off. But again, that kind of stuff tends to come easier when you know where it's all headed. So that's the first piece of advice. Try writing the chorus first. Or at the least, think about everything leading towards the chorus. Remember, when you write the verse, it doesn't mean half the work is done. I think of it more like one quarter of the work is done. When the chorus is already written and it's great, I feel like three quarters of the work is done. So what makes a great chorus? Well, firstly, it's the melody. I never discount the importance of lyrics, but as a famous songwriter once told me, there are no hit lyrics. A dull melody with amazing words will never translate into something that people want to hear over and over. One of the hardest things to do is to sit down and set a page of lyrics to music. If you write the chorus lyrics first, it's very difficult to come up with a great melody for it. Melody is something that often comes quickly because it feels good to sing and just grabs your ear straight away. You can't overthink it too much because the best melodies are simple and kind of instant. I always work on the melody first and just use na-nas or la-las or the lyrics from some other song even, just to get me started. Once the melody is working, then I'll start thinking about lyrics. Now, it's hard to give tips about melody because if there is anything magical that really happens in songwriting, it's the writing of the melody. You can slave away on the lyrics and the concept, the riff, the chord progression, the arrangement, but the melody has to kind of just come to you naturally and usually pretty quickly. One suggestion is to listen more closely to some of your favourite choruses and try to dissect how they're put together. How many actual different melodies are in there? Sometimes the whole chorus is one tiny four-note melodic fragment repeated 8 times while the chords change, or that fragment 3 times followed by an end melody. Others are like a question and answer setup. One melody is kind of like a question, and then a second melody is sort of like an answer, and that whole section will repeat 4 times. In general, there's a lot of repetition of the melody, and for the most part, only one or two actual melodic fragments. The more complex it is, and the less it repeats, and by that I mean repeats within the chorus, the harder it is to catch on to. Now, you might try to kid yourself that you're writing more complex or sophisticated music, but I can barely think of any song that has reached even a medium-sized audience that hasn't had a strong and ultimately simple melody. Start tuning your ears into what's actually happening with the melody in every chorus you like. Try to ignore the words and the backing track, and even try labelling the melodies with parts like Melody A, Melody B. You might be surprised by how many choruses are just Melody A times 3, then Melody B once, then that whole section happens twice. Sometimes, just for fun, I'll analyse a whole bunch of great songs in all kinds of styles, from metal to dance to pop to everything in between, and I'll just play them on piano in their most basic form. Now, once you strip away the lyrics and production, you can really see what they're made up of. And the difference between an AC/DC song and, say, a Katy Perry song at its most basic melodic core is often not that much. Often becoming aware of this stuff can change the way you write and open up a whole world of possibilities. And it often starts to give your choruses direction. Maybe you've been trying to do too much, make them too complex. Or maybe you haven't really known what you've been trying to do. Start to analyse choruses you've written. Are they really hooky, or do they sound more like rambling verses? Something else to remember is what often makes a melody hooky is the rhythm. A good example is something like Gwen Stefani's Holla Back Girl with This Shit Is Bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Now, this isn't my favourite song of all time, but it's definitely catchy, and there's no real melody to speak of. It's all on one note, but the rhythm of the words is really hooky. Just the rhythm. If you tap out the rhythm to the chorus of the hookiest songs, you'll realise that the rhythm is catchy in itself. And once they hit upon that great rhythm, they don't tend to overcomplicate it. You'd be surprised by how little note movement a lot of choruses contain. They might be all on three notes, but the rhythm is so catchy, it just works. Put the right chord changes under that, and you're in business. It's an old trick, actually. Sing basically the same melody over and over, and change the chords underneath. Every chord gives the melody a different flavour. Blink-182 used this technique in just about every song. If you know the song Damn It, otherwise known as I Guess This Is Growing Up, it does this exactly for verse and chorus. So do plenty of other songs. Actually, that song is a perfect example of what I'm going to talk about later. Titles that do not help you find the song. They got away with it here, but it's never ideal. I'll get to that later. Now, there are other songs that use long, rangy melodies, but most radio-friendly music these days has a short and punchy rhythmic chorus melody. Now, if you're talking about metal or hardcore or screamo or jazz or instrumental minimal dubstep trance, then maybe these rules might not apply. But the most successful examples of any of these styles have strong, in-your-face, simple melodic hooks. And you're going to need that to get past square one with your music. While we're on the subject of melodies, I'll touch on what I like to call vertical planning. This is a tricky term for low verse, medium range pre-chorus, and high chorus. Now, one common mistake beginning songwriters often make is they write each melody part of each section on the same notes in the same range. See, the most obvious way to signpost that yes, this is the chorus is to step up the vocal range. Hitting close to the top of your range makes it more exciting, more passionate, and it makes people sit up and pay attention. If you're pushing to get those notes, it just sounds more intense. Also, your voice will tend to brighten up in the higher part of your range, making the chorus really pop out. This is something to consider when writing the verse melody. If you come out too high in the verse, you'll struggle to lift for the choruses. Or worse, you'll need to come down. Now, there are a few examples of songs where the chorus melody is lower than the verse, but pretty much 99% of well-known songs follow the vertical planning concept to the letter. Everyone from Nirvana to Justin Bieber does it. One last thing on the melodic part of the chorus, and it's not necessarily a songwriting tip, but backing vocals and harmonies add a huge amount to a chorus and are another signpost that, yes, this is the chorus. Same with the general quiet, loud dynamic of the instrumental parts. A fuller sound with bigger drums, more percussion, etc. This kind of stuff should be obvious, but you'd be surprised by how often I hear demos where the songs have exactly the same sounds all the way through, with the vocalist singing in the same range throughout. There is a bit that is repeated, but that is the only indication that that's even the chorus. It could just be another verse. So that's the melody side of things covered. Let's talk about chorus lyrics. Now, there's no one way to do it, but I'll tell you how I do it and how I've seen the best in the business do it. Now, as I mentioned before, the melody generally comes first. Sometimes words come along with that melody, and sometimes those words are usable straight off the bat. Sometimes you sing a melody and a title pops right out too. But more often than not, the words you sing to get the melody are just nonsense or non-words like na-nas. I find this is the purest way to write a melody. You don't get influenced by the words, just by how hooky the tune is. The dummy lyrics might give you an indication of where the rhyme fits or what kind of vowel sounds might work. Now, once I have that melody, I'll think about where the title of the song might fit. There is usually an obvious place for the title. It might be the first words of the chorus, or once at the end of the first four bars, and again at the end of the second four bars. This might be a good time to talk about titles, which I alluded to earlier, and it's something most beginning songwriters don't consider. Often, after hearing a demo, I ask people, "So, what's that called?" and get the response, "I don't know, maybe, we'll call it I Feel." Now, something like I Feel is a crappy title. It tells you nothing, doesn't create any interest at all. Then after I suggest that the title could be better, people often say something like, "Okay, let's call it The Mysterious Master of Melbourne." And I'll say, "Right, but those words aren't even in the song." And they'll say, "Yeah, but it's a cool title." Now, here's the problem. If people hear that song at a gig or on radio, if you get that far, they'll never be able to find it. They will never know the song is called The Mysterious Master of Melbourne and never find the artist, unless they're dedicated enough to Google the lyrics, which often they won't be. Now, I know there's been a bit of a trend with bands like Panic at the Disco and Fall Out Boy to come up with clever titles that aren't even in the song, but I can guarantee the record company will fight like hell to get those titles changed. They'll be putting a world of effort and finances into getting that song on radio, only to have people never be able to find the song. It's like Panic at the Disco's song, "I Write Sins, Not Tragedies." I can never remember which Panic song that is. Those words just aren't in the song. Or if they are, they're not in the chorus. Now, I know there is a group of fans who enjoy that, and for some people it kind of adds to the intrigue and coolness of the band, but for the average listener, who doesn't have all day to track down your song, it just doesn't help. And when you're right at the beginning, making it harder for people to discover your music really doesn't make a lot of sense. If they hear it and they want to find it, you should just call the song what they expect it to be called. I know there have been times I haven't bought albums because it doesn't have the song I really wanted from that artist. I thought the song was called something, looked for that title on the track listing, didn't find it, and decided that it must be on another album or just a single release. Usually it turns out the song is there, but it's called some random thing that I never would have guessed. Like going back to Blink-182's Damn It, I was always looking for a song called I Guess This Is Growing Up, or maybe just Growing Up, and I could never find it. I thought it must have been on some early album that wasn't released here. So you can be a smartass, or you can knock down one of the many barriers to people getting into your music by simply giving the song the title that people would roughly guess from one listening. Okay, so once I've worked out where the title should sit in the chorus, I then know how many syllables the title is going to be. Now, this is when I go hunting. In general, I have a bunch of titles floating around in my mind. When you write plenty of songs, or produce lots of songs in my case, you start subconsciously filing away songwriting ideas whenever you find them. Sometimes I'll just have a look through random websites, maybe even newspaper sites, and see which words or phrases pop out. Other times I'll already have a title that I've been storing away that is just the right number of syllables. So what makes a good title? Well, firstly, it should be a word or phrase with what I call energy. A phrase like I feel has no energy. A phrase like dog with a bone has energy. It just invites you to wonder what the song is about. It sticks out above regular words as a title. A phrase like I love the way has a tiny bit of energy. A phrase like drinking with the devil has a whole lot more. It's a hard knack to get, and I actually studied advertising and writing at university, so lyrics come fairly easy to me. For other people, it takes stacks of redrafts before anything interesting pops up. But if you make the effort, you'll get there. For some people, it might take 5 minutes. For others, it might take 5 days of serious pondering. I remember one band I worked with years ago, and they had a song called Hookers and Blackjack. They called it that because the song had a sample of Futurama at the start where Bender the Robot said something about hookers and blackjack. The rest of the song had nothing to do with that, and the words were really quite dull, even in the chorus. I said, since you like that title so much, and we probably can't even use that sample in the final recording for copyright reasons, how about you scrap all the lyrics and try to incorporate that phrase, hookers and blackjack, in the chorus? So they did that, and it gave the song a whole new energy. And then to fit with that new chorus, the verses went from dull and generic to something with some real attitude. Now that's just an example, but it illustrates a point. You'll know when you've got a great title because you want to tell people about it. You want to say, yeah man, I've got this new song called Hookers and Blackjack. Versus, yeah, I've got a new song called something like, I Love the Way. Of course, every song doesn't have to be sleazy or gimmicky, But you should always be trying to push the title into something original and, most importantly, something with energy. Think about it like this. Most bands spend ages, sometimes weeks, trying to come up with a band name. They want something different and attention-grabbing and cool. But when it comes to the title of what might actually be their first single, they give it almost no thought. Now, once I've got the title, I'll think about what is the story behind this title. Let me work it through as an example. If my dummy lyrics are "Lovin' Up Your Mama," I might end up replacing those syllables with "Drinkin' With The Devil." Okay, so you get the idea. Now, that's a kind of cool title, I think. But what does it mean? Well, it could be about having a drunken night out with your ex, who you really shouldn't be drinking with. Or it could be about being controlled by booze and drugs, and once you start drinking, you can't stop. Or maybe a concept where you have to sell your soul in order to get what you want, making a deal with the devil. Or maybe it's just a flat-out party song about going too far, drinking with the devil. Once you know that, you can write the words to fill in the chorus, paying attention to what should rhyme. Now the chorus is complete, you can go back and write the verses. So imagining this drinking with the devil melody is hooky as hell, sorry, that's a bad pun, and the chorus lyrics paint a solid picture of what it's about, the verse lyrics will be simple to write. And you will also roughly know where the verse melody should be pitched and where it's all going. Okay, so that's a pretty decent overview of writing choruses, and of course, there's no rules carved in stone when it comes to music. But if you don't know how the best in the world do it, you're kind of working with one arm tied behind your back. It's a lot to take in, so listen to this a couple of times. And then next time you go to write a song, follow this method and see where it leads you. It might open up a whole new world of possibility.